Welcome to the CryptoZoo. I'm your CryptoZooKeeper Jay, and today we will be talking about the Peninsula Python.
You heard about cryptids, but what do you know? Hear a little more on this here show. What are cryptids, and what do they do? Learn about cryptids at the CryptoZoo.
One of the first cryptids we covered on the CryptoZoo, way back in episode 4, was the Loveland Frogman in Loveland, Ohio. But what if I told you that the Frogman wasn't the Buckeye State's only mysterious monster? In the northeast corner of Ohio, on the opposite end of the state from Loveland, in the municipality of Akron, there's a tiny town, really more of a village, that's about 4.5 square miles in the middle of the Cuyahoga Valley National Park and home to only 536 people at the last census. It's called Peninsula, and it has its own cryptid, fittingly called the Peninsula Python. The Peninsula Python is basically, as its name suggests, a giant snake. It is said to be between 15 and 19 feet long, with brown skin that is speckled with dark splotches. It's reportedly able to climb trees, swim in the nearby Cuyahoga River, and rear up fiercely like a cobra when challenged. It's heavy and wide enough to leave tracks that look like they were left by a truck tire wherever it slithers. And that's pretty much the extent of it. The Peninsula Python is essentially a humongous snake. The mythology behind the Peninsula Python is, of course, steeped in local legend. The most widely accepted version of the story is that the snake escaped from a circus or carnival truck when it crashed near Peninsula, spilling its cargo all over the roadway. The snake slithered away and presumably found a hole to live in somewhere. Of course, over the years, the legend has grown somewhat, and the creature's size is now said to be due to a toxic chemical spill near where it settled its home. The nasty chemicals caused the snake to mutate and grow into the beast it is today. There were attempts to locate the snake, with intentions of either capturing or killing it. Since the search party was armed to the gills, my money's on the latter. But either way, they didn't find anything. In true cryptid fashion, the hunters never found the hunted. The first sighting of the Peninsula Python happened way back in 1944. On June 8th of that year, a farmer named Clarence Mitchell saw what he said was an 18-foot-long snake crossing the cornfield on his farm near Peninsula. He watched the monster slither through the field and dip into the Cuyahoga River. His dog saw it too, and reportedly wouldn't go anywhere near the cornfield for weeks after. A couple of days later, on June 10th, Paul and John Salley reported finding what they said looked like a single tire track going through their fields. It appeared as if the python had paid them a visit as well. And a couple of days after that, on June 12th, Mrs. Roy Vaughn spotted the snake squeezing through her fence. It was having trouble because its midsection had a noticeable lump in it. After a quick investigation, she noticed that she was missing a chicken. The first official casualty of the snake was reported. On June 25th, Mitchell and some gung-ho friends formed the first python hunting posse, but their efforts didn't turn up anything more than some broken tree branches and the now familiar single-tire-like tracks leading to and from the river. Although the posse didn't spot the Peninsula Python, many other people did. Reports of sightings of the creature were made all through that summer. On June 27th, a woman named Pauline Hopko saw the snake slither out of a willow tree in her front yard, scaring her cows so badly that they escaped from their enclosure and ran away. On June 29th, Mrs. Ralph Griffin saw the snake in her yard, reporting that it lifted its head 6 feet into the air as if it was readying to attack. Another man named Ernest Raymond saw the snake in his field as well, at first mistaking it for a tree stump that he didn't realize was there. He figured out the mystery of the phantom stump when it moved, revealing itself to be the python. Another anonymous woman watched in horror as the hungry beast swallowed one of her chickens whole after seeking shelter in her coop. Dinner and a home, I guess. The Peninsula Python hasn't been spotted much, if at all, since the 40s, so it's entirely possible that the mutant humongous reptile has died. In fact, if it really is just a snake, the chances are pretty good that its cold-blooded body would have frozen to death during the frigid Ohio winter. Wherever it went, dead or alive, it seems to have left Peninsula. So, what could the Peninsula Python actually be? Well, the logical answer is that it's a snake. That's a cop-out, I know, but the cryptozoological term for it would be an out-of-place species, or an OOPS for short. That's a regular animal that is found in a place where it normally wouldn't be. and if the python did escape from a circus or other exhibition, it could have ended up in Ohio. And a circus wouldn't want to display a normal-sized snake, they'd want the biggest one they could find, like mutant big. It also could be a case of mass hysteria. After Clarence Mitchell's sighting, the reports started flooding in. It seemed as if everyone and anyone was seeing, or at least wanted to see, the python. So while Mitchell's sighting may have been legit, the rest may have been panic settling in. The only other realistic theory is that the whole Peninsula Python thing is a big hoax, and we'll tell you why in a minute. But yeah, like a lot of cryptids, this may all just be bullpucky. And then there's the slight chance that it may be what we all want it to be. A snake that has not been discovered or classified by science. One that is so big and mean that it can survive the snowy northern Ohio winters with its cold-blooded body. A cryptid. Which brings us to the Peninsula Python's legacy, and why it might all be hokum. See, the original legend of the python was first told by a local reporter named Robert Bordner in a 1945 issue of The Atlantic. He spun the tale of the massive circus-escaping, tire-track-leaving, dog-and-cow-scaring, chicken-coop-raiding, river-swimming, tree-climbing snake, and he called his article The Peninsula Python, an absolutely true story. Not sarcastic at all. In case you hadn't figured it out, Robert Bordner was a bit of a prankster and a satirist, so he most likely made up the story, or at least embellished the good parts. Like maybe he heard about a snake that escaped a circus and let his imagination create the rest. Real or not, he's a good storyteller. And also real or not, the people of Peninsula celebrate their local cryptid yearly with a summer festival and a parade. So if you do find yourself in Peninsula at the right time, you might see a giant snake. It'll just be made of papier-mâché and will be carried down the main street by a dozen or so revelers. Make sure to snap a picture anyway. And that's about it for this episode of The Cryptozoo. If you enjoyed what you heard, please like, follow, subscribe, share, rate, review, and all that other stuff. You can find us on Facebook, so drop in there and say hi. We're also at thecryptozoo.com. That's thecrypto-zoo.com, so visit us there as well. And until next time, good night, sleep tight, and don't stop believing.
We love cryptids, big and small.